Hello, I'm Andrew Shields, a trustee of the Chartered Banker Institute. Even as professionals working in banking, we might not fully understand the mysteries of how payments happen, whether from our employer to our bank or as we tap a button to repay our friends. Although we are customers too, people that don't work in banking might expect us to understand these mysteries more than most. As someone who has enjoyed a long and varied career in banking, I've seen many changes, but the pace of change in this core banking service is phenomenal. With new payment requirements coming into effect in the UK later in 2024, we bring you a new podcast series entitled Banking Transformations, a Deep Dive into Modern Payment Services. This podcast series is designed to bring you up to speed with the evolving landscape of payment services. We will delve into the role of PayUK, the system behind our banking systems, and how it is helping to shape the UK's banking sector with innovative solutions and the challenges it works to address. Through our conversations, we aim to build your expertise and enhance your professional development, provide insights into the workings of PayUK and the future of payment services. As we progress, we will encourage your active engagement, inviting you to contribute ideas and perspectives for further episodes and questions that we can put to PayUK that could help them understand your roles better, allowing them to refine and enhance their services. Changes to payment services and their associated role in addressing and preventing fraud are high on the agenda in the UK and at a global level. This series will give you the extra layer of expertise you need on these developments, enabling you to have informed discussions about the future of the payments landscape and to learn some of the techniques and strategies you might want to think about deploying in your role as a responsible banker. I hope you will gain lots of helpful insights from these episodes and encourage you to subscribe so that you don't miss future episodes, which will be dropping soon. I'm delighted to be joined again in episode two of this series of podcasts by my friend and colleague, Kate Frankish, Chief Business Development Officer at PayUK, and a very warm welcome, Kate, to this episode number two, and thanks for having joined us in episode one as well. So just going into episode two today, this is all about the increase in authorised push payment fraud and how we are working as an industry to tackle it. And I just wanted to begin, Kate, by saying that we ended our last discussion talking about the ways in which PayUK is supporting banks in their regulatory compliance. And a critical and evolving issue for both banks and regulators is payment fraud. And for a bit of context, can you share the size of the problem and the impact that this has on victims and our member organisations, please?
Yes, certainly, Andrew. So as some of you will know, because you maybe work in the fraud area of your bank, there are a number of different types of payment fraud. And what we focus on in Pay.UK and with our customers is focusing on authorised push payment fraud, which happens, 98% of authorised push payment fraud happens on the Faster Payments platform, which we run. So we are super laser focused on how do we help protect the platform and the users of that platform from fraud moving forward. So let me talk a little bit about the level of fraud in the UK, and I'm using some stats that were published by UK Finance this month on 2023 authorised push payment fraud values. So in 2023, £459.7 million was successfully stolen by fraudsters using this kind of social engineering capability. And this is one of the most cruel versions of fraud. If you think about card fraud, what tends to happen is a card number is stolen from the dark web and then used in the background as if it was being used by the real customer. With authorised push payment fraud, what happens is the victim is basically engineered to think that, for example, in a romance fraud, that they have a relationship with an individual, and then what tends to happen after a period of time of building that relationship online, then they're asked to send money, and it's normally in a very stressful situation. Somebody's, you know, needs money because they've had an accident, something that really triggers and makes that individual think it's definitely the right thing to do, and then they send the money. And then they find out, not only have they lost the money, but also they've been tricked, and they don't have a real relationship. So it's a really hard fraud. There are a number of different methods that the fraud is delivered through, but fundamentally it's been a growing problem in the UK and globally. So Bet22 is the first time that authorised push payment fraud was a higher level than card fraud in the UK. So it's a growing problem that we really need to focus on. And just to give you a little bit of context, the 2023 number, although it's high, it's 5% lower than in 2022. Banks are doing an awful lot and investing an awful lot of money into trying new types of fraud protection capability to make sure that their consumers and businesses are protected as much as possible. But there is more that we as the industry and also social media companies and telcos need to do to really focus on this problem going forward.
That's great, Kate. And wow, those are some quite scary statistics that you came up with there. Just following on from that theme then, what does PayUK see as its role in the supporting industry with push payment fraud? And specifically, can you please explain the work you're doing across pre, during and post payment phases to support the already significant fraud prevention capability in the industry, please?
Yes, certainly. So what is Pay.UK's role? So when I joined Pay.UK 5 years ago, our position was that it's for the banks to protect their customers, their end users. So we're the pass-through, we just make sure the payments flow. Now, what's changed over the last 5 years has been, one, the level of fraud, which I touched on earlier, and two, the understanding that actually, if we don't protect the faster payments platform, end users, consumers and businesses will start to lose confidence and therefore not want to use that as a payment type. And our customers, the banks who use our services, will also lose confidence. So it's really important that we have a role, but it's a collaboration role. As I say, a lot of work has already gone on and continues to go on in banks to cover and protect end users against fraud in all different ways. APP fraud, authorised push payment fraud, is one of the hardest to detect because the consumer actually authorises the payment. They go through two-factor if need be. They go through every type of authentication necessary to make the payment go. And it's only afterwards they realise that they were sending money to a fraudster rather than a real individual they had built a relationship with. So on that vein, what are we doing? We've got four projects on the go at the moment underneath an umbrella of a big fraud programme. Two of them are mandated. So the two mandated projects, which I'll start off with, the first one is confirmation of pay expansion. So today you should experience, and your customers will experience generally, anytime they set up a new a payee on their bank account through their mobile app or online, they will be asked to put in the payee's name, sort code and account number. And then in the background, there's a check between banks that we facilitate to say, is it a match? Is it a near match? Or is it not a match? And that helps from some of the more simple push payment fraud scenarios where money would go into an account that's actually in a different name than expected. It also helps with misdirected payments, fat fingers, you know, a wrong digit being typed in when a customer is setting up a new PIN. Now, today, COP covers 98% of payment providers. Well, actually, a payment volume, not payment providers. So we've got 141 banks and PSPs using confirmation of pay today. By October the 31st this year, the Payment Systems Regulator has mandated a further 300 smaller firms to join the confirmation of payee service. And that's to make sure we have 100% coverage in the UK. We've seen roughly 10% benefits in less fraud coming through from the service. The Payment Systems Regulator and banks who use our service understand the benefit of this and want to make sure that the full market is covered. So that's confirmation of PE expansion. The second thing is authorised push payment fraud regulation, which is due to come in on the 7th of October. And this new regulation means that every account holding payment service provider in the UK has to comply with the regulation and the faster payment rule changes. And that means that if a victim of fraud phones into your bank and explains that they've been defrauded, the next step is that your bank has to speak to the receiving bank and work through a claim process. Fundamentally, most victims of fraud will be refunded through this process, and that has to normally happen within a 5-day period. And then the receiving bank has to refund the sending bank 50% of that particular consumer refund. So that's a considerable change for the market. Today, there's something called the contingency reimbursement model that's in place, and it's a voluntary code that some banks follow to reimburse victims of this type of fraud. But this is going to become regulation for everybody. So it's a significant change. And that will mean approximately 1,000 payment systems providers in the UK will be regulated under this particular regime and have to comply. So we'll touch a lot more in a bit more detail on that particular topic in the next podcast. I think it's important that your listeners understand what their organisation has to do to be able to comply by October the 7th. And then there's two other projects we're running which are more innovation focused. The first one is something called enhanced fraud data, and that is similar to confirmation of payee, but sharing different types of data between banks before a payment is set up. And that data is account level data. So how long has the customer had the account? Does this look like normal behaviour? This type of data to allow a risk-based decision to be made at either the sending or receiving bank's end. So we've published the standard last year. We've been consulting on various different ways to implement this, and we're working with industry and the PSR on making sure we provide enough information for each bank to look at the business case within their own organisation and understand whether they want to progress with this service in early 2025. And then the last one, which is very exciting, and we published some results last week actually, is a proof of concept that we ran looking at basically using a wider consortium of data to understand trends and provide risk flags to prevent fraud. So if you think about it today, most banks have really good fraud protection services, but they're only looking at their own set of data and only the trends that they can see. When we're sitting at the centre as the payment systems operator, we have access to all of the faster payments data across the UK. So what we set out to prove was that consortium data gives better results from the point of view of being able to spot more fraud, to be able to flag that to the sending and receiving bank, and for them to be able to take action to stop that fraud where necessary. The good news is the proof of concept was very successful. We prove a 40% uplift in what's called value detection rate. So basically 40% more fraud was detected through the proof of concept versus what the banks have been able to detect themselves during that 13-month period. So now we are talking to the industry about how do we make that service live, what's required, what are the requirements of the industry, and how do we make sure we can look at data sharing on this scale, which is always the hardest part, is actually making sure that everybody is comfortable with how data is shared and how it is used. So they're the four things that we are working on in pay.uk at the moment. It's a very busy time, I must admit. 2024 is extremely focused, but it's an area that we are passionate about delivering value to the banks who are our customers and also the end users who are the victims of fraud, unfortunately.
Okay, thanks very much for those insights, Kate. Very illuminating indeed. And it's reassuring to hear that all these initiatives are going on in the background, albeit it's certainly not an area for complacency. Now, one of the great things about having these conversations in these podcasts about payments is being able to share knowledge and expertise from different roles. Now, what can our members in the Chartered Banker Institute do to be more engaged with this issue and increase their vigilance and perhaps speak up, if you like, if they identify a problem and provide feedback for further innovation?
Yeah, that's a great question, Andrew. So our core relationship with our customers sits in your payment functions fundamentally. Although we have obviously a strong relationship with your fraud function over the last few years developing these new types of propositions. So I would suggest that engaging within your organizations with your payment functions, understanding what you can do to feed in, because they work with us on a day-to-day basis. In larger banks, they have industry representatives who come and sit on a number of our committees. They advise us, we work with them. Our website has contact details as well. If you have ideas or want to get involved or want to learn more about pay.uk and what we do, but we're always open for new ideas and for people to get involved. In fact, one of the hardest things that we find, and as we're looking to grow services to larger scales of PSPs than we normally have relationship with, is how do we make sure that we enable contact in an efficient way and that people can easily come and speak to us and do business with us. So I would encourage everyone to look on our website. There, as I say, there are contact details on there, particularly for the new mandated services like confirmation of pay and authorised push payment fraud reimbursement. We need to be speaking to your organisations to make sure you're ready, and you need to be getting the information you need from us to understand and make sure you're ready at your end. So both from an innovation and from an existing development perspective, I would encourage people to contact us through our website or through your payments teams if you have an existing relationship with pay.uk.
Many thanks, Kate. And that really brings to an end our second in the series of payments podcasts from the Chartered Banker Institute. I'm Andrew Shields, and I was joined today by Kate Frankish from PUK. A sincere thank you to Kate for joining us today, and also thanks to our listeners for joining in the discussions today. And we look forward to welcoming you to episode 3 in the future of this series of payments podcast from the Chartered Banker Institute.